I'd like to welcome everyone here to our Sunday worship. Our regular preacher is, as you may be aware of, over in Africa, and at least so far sounds like he's having a very productive trip. Some of the men of the congregation are filling in his absence, and of course that includes me this morning. You know, it's kind of interesting, Sunday night, I think, last Sunday when Alan was winding up his sermon, a couple things he said that kind of caught my attention because I was thinking about the lesson for today. And I don't remember exactly the words that he used, but something like the need to look at ourselves or examine ourselves or test ourselves. And then Wednesday night during the invitation, Virgil caught up and used some of the same words about the us need to be careful about, watching ourselves and those sorts of things. So guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about self-assessment. And sort of leverage off of those two comments and hopefully be able to provide you some useful information. So we use different terms, assessments, tests, exams, any number of different terms. And they're very commonplace in the world. I mean, from birth. I mean, you're not out of the womb, 10 seconds, and they're pricking your heel, and they're getting a blood sample, and that's going off to the lab for assessment, and there's something called an Apgar test, where they're assessing, how pink your fingers are, whatever. Ask Dodie for details on that. She can probably fill you all in on that one. But that's just the beginning. All kinds of medical tests, medical exams, I mean, from, cholesterol kinds of things, and very day-to-day kinds of things, various serious kinds of things. In school, of course, full of, tests, exams, pop quizzes, finals, etc., including in sports as well, tryouts. Some of these, we do ourselves. Some of these others do for us, give us results, etc., driver's license exams, job certifications, performance evaluations, and the list just goes on and on and on. Very commonplace. A couple factors. One is they're trying to assess some aspect of our lives. The other factor is often there's a certain amount of apprehension, a degree of uncertainty, perhaps a degree of concern, not knowing how well you'll do on the test or the exam or the whatever, or you might not want the results of the test or the exam or whatever because of what it might tell you. But a very commonplace kind of thing. Same way in the spiritual world. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, but a man must examine himself within the context of the Lord's Supper, within that context. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Again, common terminology, tests, exams, etc. Self-examination in these particular cases. The need for us to always be looking for the things that we lack. Very good attitude, at least initially, by the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verses 20. Talking to Jesus, the young man said, basically said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? As you may recall the context, and Jesus said, under the Jewish law of the time, well, do this, don't do this, etc., Ten Commandments. And the young man appropriately comes back and said, well, I've done all these things. What lack I yet? What am I missing? There's something I'm missing here. I've examined myself, and it seems like there's something more that ought to be going on. What am I missing? A good attitude at that point. Continuing on, commandment to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow. Okay, well, there's a sense of understanding where you are, what you know, what you don't know, and trying to fill in the gaps, learn, grow, etc. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Again, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, figure out where you are, where you need to be, and start moving in that direction. More verses. These deal with pressing on toward maturity. Again, growth toward a goal and maturing. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul speaking, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on, pressing forward, reaching forward. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, a certain degree of rebuke. They should have been more mature, but were not. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You started out as a babe, appropriately fed with milk, should be learning, should be growing, but you're still drinking formula. Well, something's not right here. Assessment doesn't look good. Something's missing. Something's lacking. You know, pressing for maturity, toward maturity. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Again, same theme. Now, there's a certain, when we start talking about assessments, particularly self-assessments, particularly spiritual self-assessments, okay, so let's kind of bring it down a little bit closer to home. There's a number of dangers, and I've listed a few. Here's one, ignorance. Now, for those who are new converts, for those who are young or perhaps converted later on in life, you know, this is a big danger. You just don't know. You just don't know. Yes. I don't want to put them on the spot, but there's a member of the audience. It's like, you know, since becoming a Christian, like everything I hear is like brand new. I've never heard this before. Okay, just don't know. A lot of learning needs to go on. A lot of becoming acquainted with, you know, what the scriptures say to do, say not to do, why it says to do, why it says not to do, etc. I'm reminded of the example of Paul in Acts, you know, 23, verse 1. I mean, Paul had a perfectly good conscience. He was just, you know, good Pharisee, doing his good job, whatever. And he was perfectly happy killing Christians, persecuting Christians. It's like, wait a second here, Paul. There's something more you need to know about your situation. But again, to some degree, he was, you know, perfectly content. Another danger in spiritual self-assessment. Having the wrong standard or rule or ruler or whatever. You know, if you're going in, just a quick example, if you're going in for your driver's license test and you've studied the, you know, the traffic laws according to the, you know, state of the Philippines, you use the wrong standard, wrong criteria. You know, if you studied for your English test and you're going in and you're having a math test, wait a minute, wrong standard, wrong criteria. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 gives one of the wrong standards that sometimes we fall into, comparing ourselves with others. Within the context, it says, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I mean, you can compare yourself to, you know, a skid row bum who's lying in the gutter and think, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, in terms of my, you know, spiritual walk compared to that guy. Is that really a good standard? You know, compare yourself with worldly people. Maybe you compare yourself with your parents and go, well, I think I'm better than they, you know, act better than they do. Well, and maybe you do. Don't know. Maybe you compare yourself with fellow Christians. Oh, well, you know, I'm not as bad as that guy. Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, wrong ruler, wrong standard, wrong measuring stick. We need to be careful about that. Here's another trap that we sometimes fall into ourselves. Being too lenient on ourselves, of course. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, you may recall the context where, you know, one person is saying, oh, you got something in your eye. Let me help you, you know, pick it out of your eye. When he's got this log, beam, big piece of wood, if you will, stuck in his eyes, but couldn't see it. Saw right past it. Around it, whatever, you know, picking out this other, you know, small thing. Sometimes we have to be careful about, you know, being too lenient on ourselves. Of course, there's a companion to that of being too hard on ourselves, but more often than not, you know, we tend to let ourselves kind of slide, yeah, for one reason or another. You know, we've got, you know, certain reasons, you know, excuses maybe. But another danger we have to be careful of. Here are some more. Self-satisfaction, okay, or pride, Proverbs 16, verses 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. I'm going to skip verse and come back to it. How about Luke 18, 10 through 14, with the Pharisee praying in the temple? Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people around about me. You are so privileged to have me as one of your chosen people. Not. Luke 17, 10, I think is a very key passage for us to keep in mind that hopefully will keep us from being, well, you know, I'm mature, I've arrived, I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to examine my life. I'm scoring 100%. Luke 17:10. But you too, when you do all the things that are commanded you, say, quote unquote, we are unworthy slaves. We've only done that which we ought to have done. You should have done it. Count yourself as unworthy. You've only done what you're supposed to have been doing. So again, hopefully an antidote for sinful self-satisfaction and pride, which, you know, you can't really assess yourself and learn and grow if you think you've already arrived, which by virtue of having that attitude that tells you you haven't. Anyway, so let's talk about, we talked about, you know, ruler, measure, you know, standards, criteria, whatever. Let me offer, and it's one of, you know, perhaps a couple different ones you could pick, but let me offer what I might call the gold standard. And if you've done this, you're doing pretty well in terms of self-assessment. Gold standard. Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with, now watch it, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And of course, it goes on to say you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. A lot of aspects in this one little pithy verse. Heart, soul, mind, strength. And all. You notice that? All this, all that, all this, all that. Ponder that for a moment. What does that mean? I would tend to think that's kind of hard to a degree to envision what that really means. To really love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And in some ways kind of harder to do. Ponder that for a moment. So what I want to do here is take a few moments and maybe bring this into terms that we might be better able to relate to. So here's the phrase I've got up on the board. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, etc. If that's kind of hard to envision, let's try this for an experiment. Let's substitute out the Lord, your God, with the word Broncos. And you may say, well, that's silly. Not as silly as you might suspect, as we'll see in a few moments. Now, you could, if Broncos doesn't resonate with you, I mean, you could put Seahawks, you could put up some other football team, you could put some other sport, you could put some other hobby. Put whatever you want to in there, okay? I chose Broncos because we were here in Denver, Broncos. Okay, so if you really love the Broncos, well, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to attend, right? Preseason game. Home game, away game, if they're playing on Sunday, come Sunday. If you're really in love with the Broncos, you're going to attend with all the other people that love the Broncos, right? Sure. You're going to attend. And when you attend, you're going to think about what you're going to wear. You're going to dress appropriately for the occasion, right? Because you love the Broncos. In any number of different appropriate for the occasion ways. Any number of different appropriate for the occasion ways. Yeah. For people who are listening on tape, I've got several pictures I pulled off the internet of various Broncos fans in various, I don't know what you want to say, appropriate attire for them observing their Broncos. And if you really love the Broncos, you're really not going to care what other people may think. I mean, you know, they don't love the Broncos. They don't really understand. You know, they may think what you're doing is weird or strange, but that's not going to bother you. Like the barrel man, you're there to show you love the Broncos, regardless of, you know, what people might say to you or put you down or condemn you or persecute you or whatever. You're going to do that. And of course, if you love the Broncos, you want to instill these values in your children from a very young age. In fact, I found one photo where I guess the parents had dressed the boy up in a barrel man costume, teaching him at a young age. You know, it doesn't matter what people may tell you. If you really love the Broncos, you will show that you really do with all of your heart and soul. And see where I'm going? And if you really love the Broncos, you know, it really doesn't matter if the weather's not very good. If you love the Broncos, you're going to attend. You know, regardless. I mean, if you're able, you're going to be there. Regardless of the, you know, the weather, the circumstances, etc. And if you're, you know, not with the game, if you're not at the game, if you're not, you know, participating or whatever, if there are, you know, other occasions, you know, you're getting together with others that love the Broncos. And you're celebrating the Broncos. And you're talking about the glory of the Broncos. And, you know, you're sharing a meal and you're having camaraderie, etc., you know, oriented around, you know, Broncos matters. And if you really love the Broncos, you're going to show it in the way you live and in the way you dress and in things you do. You know, you're going to present your body a living sacrifice. Does that sound familiar? For the Broncos. And, you know, it might be nails, it might be makeup. I saw lots of things on the internet that I wouldn't want to put here in public consumption regarding tattoos. But you would glorify the Broncos with your body, right? Of course. And you'd surround yourself with all kinds of other things that would remind you of your love for the Broncos and let other people, you know that you love the Broncos. And we got all kinds of memorabilia here with bedspreads and phones and lamps and trash cans. And, you know, let's just go on and on and on and on. And you would know for sure, I mean, maybe you met some of these people, you would know for sure that these people really do love the Broncos. I mean, you can tell. I mean, they're talking about it with their coworkers, they're talking about it with their friends, with their neighbors, you're socializing with them, and you know, more often than not, the topic kind of gets turned to the discussion kind of gets turned over to the topic of the Broncos, and you know, they've memorized certain, you know, facts and figures and what important people have said about the Broncos. And, you know, they can quote various scripture about Broncos and important facts. And it's a significant part of their life. And you know it, right? Right. What do you call people like that? As I said, maybe you know some of them. What do you call people like that? Fan, that just doesn't quite, you know, that's just not there enough. You know, they're not fans. Well, they are fans, but, you know, more than fans. We call them dedicated, okay. Passionate, sure, okay. Zealous, okay. I mean, you know, you get one of these guys up against a Seahawks fan, and, you know, they're liable to come to blows. They're very zealous, and, you know, they want to convert you to the love of Broncos. Okay? Fanatic, maybe? Okay. Enough said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Isn't this kind of like that? Applied, except in a different direction? I mean, you know people like this? They're like, you know, they're on fire for the Broncos. or the Seahawks, or whatever. And I put this together to kind of give us a sense of perhaps what this verse really means if taken somewhat to its logical conclusion. So, with all that said, we're going to shift gears here quickly. What I did was, I'm an engineer, and I do checklists and all sorts of other kinds of things. So I came up with what we'll call a self-assessment aid. Spiritual self-assessment aid. And what it is, it's kind of a sampling. And I emphasize the word sampling of various areas. And I'll give you a list in just a little bit. And for each of these areas, to keep it somewhat simple, I've put in a reference to our website at BibleQuestions.org and the particular topic or topics where you can go to read more about this particular area, scripture verses, things you should be doing, etc. So it's a sampling of various, first of all. This aid, and I have a sample up here. Okay. It's call it a self-assessment, call it a test, call it a self-test. I don't care. Call it whatever you want to. But I have one. We'll talk a little bit more about how you're going to get one. It also has a sampling of questions. Now, let me be very clear. Sampling, you've heard that word a couple times now. They're primarily focused on what sometimes are called sins of omission. And you go, what's that? Some parts of God's law are stated either by command or example or inference in terms of do not, thou shalt not. Or here's examples of people that did things that were condemned, doing, violating God's law, sinning via what they have done, acts of commission, things they've committed, things they've done. This particular assessment aid didn't really focus on that. It could have, but it didn't. It focuses more on, things we perhaps should be doing, but are not. Sins of omission. Something else this doesn't really include, it doesn't really have attitudes. It's really mostly based on behavior, the way the questions are asked. Things you have done, things you have said, things you do, whatever. It's mostly based on behavior, not really on attitudes. And it also doesn't have anything in there about how to get to the point of being a Christian where we can, work past sins of commission and begin working on sins of omission. So it doesn't have anything there about, believing the gospel or Christian evidences or anything along those lines. So again, it's a sampling. I'll say that several times because I don't want anyone coming back saying, well, Jeff said if you can check off all the questions with the right answer, you're saved. It's like, no, I am not. I repeat, not. Third time, repeat, not saying that. And again, most of the questions are, again, somewhat behavioral and more related to frequency. How often do I do certain things? It's meant to be thought-provoking. It's not meant to be perfect. It's not meant to be complete. It's meant to get you to think, to help identify areas where you can perhaps focus on and improve your walk with God. Okay? Assessment areas. Well, turns out there's a lot. In this, and even in the sampling, there's a lot. Okay, so yes, there are some questions in there about attendance. There's questions in there about worship. A lot of questions about worship. There's questions about doing things after worship. Personal Bible study, personal prayer, daily living, Sunday noon through Saturday night, so to speak. Relationships within the family with, husband, wife, parent, child, etc. Relationships in school, in work, civil relationships, personal evangelism, growth, etc., etc., etc. So a lot of assessment areas. It's like 3+ pages long and the font's not very big. Here's what it looks like in terms of format. So down the left column, you've got the different areas, different questions, sample questions. These are some things I came up with. Admittedly, Cheryl helped me a little bit. Different areas in blue. A couple things I'll point out. There are those references to the topics at BibleQuestions.org down the left side. All different kinds of questions, and it's kind of a sampling of questions. I mean, and hopefully, by going through these kind of questions, you'll hopefully think of other questions as well that you could be asking yourself. Off on the right side, I've put in four columns. Each column is kind of arranged from bad to better, if I could say it that word. Left column, I'll just pick the first one as kind of a sample. How often do I look forward to attending worship service? So on the left side, you know, rarely do I really look forward to attending worship service. So if that's you, you could circle it or check it or, you know, whatever. Or, you know, yeah, sometimes I do, maybe often I do. Well, maybe always I do. Okay, you know, circle the one. Now, inherent in that series of right columns, I've intentionally put the first column as definitely a danger zone. Definitely a danger zone. If you got anything in that column, you better look hard. Please do. The next two columns, room for growth for sure. You know, right column is like, that's a pretty good answer. Now, go find another question to score yourself on. So that's sort of the layout. This particular snapshot is a little bit before I did a little bit of reformatting. And I got kind of tired about this, you know, repetitious, you know, how often do. So I just got rid of that part. And I think the latest version says, do I look forward to attending worship service? Or, you know, do I consider God when selecting what to wear? Do I attend service more than once per week? Etc. So that's the format. Let's talk about some warnings. And I'm trying to heavily caveat this as we go along, but I'm also kind of, you know, summarizing it here as well. Do not, okay, assuming you get one of these things, which I very much encourage you to do, and afterwards I'll tell you how you get one. Do not take it if you're not a Christian. It's not meant to be taken by a non-Christian. I mean, you can take it if you want to. Okay, fine. But, you know, it says nothing about becoming a Christian, as I said before. It says nothing about all the sins of commission you could be doing wrong. And those are really big, huge things that, you know, arguably need to be focused on first, principally, priority-wise. And then we can also talk about some of these other things as well. So there's that warning. Again, I say it a fourth or a fifth time, this is not the complete test. If you've got a Bible, that's the test, not this. Nor is it totally comprehensive, but hopefully it gives you some thoughts, some things to think about. Please do not think that if you've got several marks down the right side, that your ticket is punched and you're on your way to heaven, or that's good enough and you can stop. Don't do that. Again, see the scriptures we talked about earlier about growth, etc. Okay. Also, do not think that you got some marks there on the right side. Well, those are good marks. And you got some marks on the left side. Oh, those are bad marks. Don't think that the good marks cancel out the bad marks or override the bad marks, especially if you got some in the rightmost, in the leftmost column. No, this is not a balanced kind of game where if you have more good deeds than you have bad things, you're going to have your ticket punched and you're going to heaven. No, do not think that. Please, if you take this, which I hope you do, do not score it and try to compare it with someone else. Again, what did the verse say early on? Compare yourselves with others. This is not for you to compare yourself with someone else and go, ha, 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 I scored better than you did in this area. Wrong. This is for you. Okay. Let's talk about instructions. Get to some logistics stuff. Where should you do this? In private, quiet place. You can concentrate, free of distractions. When you got sufficient time. It's not an easy thing. Like I said, it's like 3-some-odd pages. Small font. Attitude. Prayerfully, humbly, looking at yourself in the mirror, that's kind of hard to do, admittedly. I mean, especially to look at the ugly part of ourselves in a very, yeah, you know, I'm really not doing this as much as I should. Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, I need to. Okay, I need to do something about it. Okay? Give me a copy. So, I've teased you enough about that. So, what I'd like to do, I have some hard copies. I have a very small number of hard copies. I have six. After the sermon, I'll be in the back of the auditorium. If you're a visitor, I would like you to have a hard copy. Okay? If you're a member, my desire would be just to email it to you. And if you want, if you're not a member but you want a soft copy, just let me know. Give me your email address, and I'll email it to you. But I figured we'd have some visitors, and so I made a small number of hard copies that, you know, you can take with you. So mostly for our visitors. Like I said, if your email is in the directory, my intention is if I can find your email in the directory, I will send it to you. If you want to use it, if you don't want to use it, that's up to you. I would encourage you to use it, but it's up to you. I'll drop it in your inbox. Okay. Some reminders. Okay. Meant to be a practical aid. Okay. To get you to think. Again, it's not inspired. It's not complete. You know, there's a lot of other areas we could talk about, but it's a start to help you identify areas of improvement. Please, 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 please watch your attitude very closely. Again, the verse we had earlier, we were unworthy slaves. We've done only what we ought to have done. I think, and again, I could be wrong. I think the things that are in here that I've come up with, you know, are things we ought to be doing, really. Are things we ought to be doing, depending on, you know, our circumstances. Gold standard, you know, love the Lord your God with all of your, you know, that's where we really want to be. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's where we're really all trying to get to. And again, we talked about for Christians only. Well, I'll kind of leverage that. So it's a relatively short sermon. And really the meat, if you will, of the sermon is here in the assessment. So again, I'll be in the back. Have some limited hard copies to hand out. If we run out and you really want a hard copy, that's fine. Just let me know. Otherwise, all the members will get an email. But that's really where the meat of the sermon is. And if you're listening on tape, my intention is to post it along with the sermon to the website. You'll have access to both the sermon, which I very much encourage people to listen to before taking the self-assessment, as well as the self-assessment itself, which also has some kind of repeated instructions and cautions before it and after it as well. So there you go. There's your homework, if you will. As I said before, the particular thing we were talking about, you know, really isn't geared toward non-Christians. It really isn't necessarily geared toward Christians that are doing things they shouldn't be doing. We always, as we sort of begin to wind up our service, you know, we offer what's called the invitation, targeting those particular people. You know, if you're not a Christian, you haven't begun the journey. You know, you need to start by beginning the journey. As the song that we're about to sing in a few moments, there's several words in there about trusting Jesus. And certainly that's a key part. Trusting Jesus, believing that he existed, believing he was who he claimed to be, you know, the Son of God, believing that indeed he did die on the cross as a martyr for our sins, and being willing to accept that. But see, that too is just the beginning. There's like, well, given that, how do you feel about the way you've been living? Now we're talking repentance. And given all that, you know, are you really willing to confess your love before others for Jesus? Earlier we had kind of the silly example of confessing your love of the Broncos before others. And a lot of people do that. And sometimes they get harassed for it because they're with Seahawks fans or whatever. Just a very small inkling at now what we're talking about in terms of being able to confess Jesus before others. And, still not done yet, being immersed in water in order to have the forgiveness of your sins. And even that's just the start. Because now you rise to walk a new life. Your old sins have been forgiven, but what about new ones? Ah,
Okay, now we're back to sins of commission, sins of omission, being willing to repent, pray God for forgiveness if it's public, being willing to come forward and confess it, and every day trying to live the way God would have you live and show really and truly how much you love the Lord with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength. Not only thinking it, but like the lesson today has been emphasizing, doing it. With those thoughts in mind, if you have a need to respond, you have that opportunity to do so as we stand and sing.